What up, Laker fans? D-Mac here, and welcome to an episode of the Lakers 24-8 Roundtable. And today I'm joined by Sports Illustrated Lakers insider, Mr. Noah Cameras. You can follow him at Noah Cameras. Thanks for rocking with us today, Noah.
Thank you for having me.
And over here, I've got the new guy, but this guy knows all you would ever want to know about your Lake Show. And his name is Leon Neal. No, it's fine. His name, of course, is Noel Sanchez. You can follow him at Noe1 Sanchez over on Instagram. But thanks for rocking with us, boys. Let's get right into it, because the Lakers, they basically did a mini overhaul of their roster at the deadline. And of course, the biggest deal was the Lakers trading for D'Angelo Russell. Welcome back, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt. Minnesota receives Mike Conley, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, a lot of picks, a lot of second round picks. Utah, they get Russell Westbrook, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Jones, and the Lakers 2027 first round pick, which was protected 1-4. What was your initial reaction to the deal, Noah?
Yeah, initially I was a little unsure if that deal alone would get this Lakers spot to contention status. The moves they then made after, I think, totally rounded out the roster. So now looking back on it, I love the move for the Lakers. I think this move definitely puts them into contender status, is what I'm trying to say, because you have D'Lo there. He's a great shooter. He's going to be a good ball handler and can play at the two guard if you want LeBron to be your primary ball handler. And then you slide in Malik Beasley, a great shooter. He's proven he can shoot threes. Those two guys were two of the best three-point shooters in the league. And I love what Jared Vanderbilt has brought to this team so far. He's brought energy. He's brought hustle. He really plays hard on both ends of the court. And I think he's actually going to play a much bigger role this year and next year for this team.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, when you consider what the Lakers could have gotten from that, they really didn't have very many assets. It really was addition by subtraction. Yeah. Westbrook was Westbroken at that point. Mm-hmm. He was a bad fit playing alongside LeBron. But Noel, what was your reaction the trade?
I mean, kind of picking off of what Noah said, you just got to look at it like addition by subtraction. When you bring in those guys that can shoot, guys that can play make, guys that can bring a lot of energy to a Lakers team that the vibes are kind of always off. Like, some games they're going in there and LeBron's looking like a superstar. Westbrook is looking like that sixth man of the year candidate. But, you know, obviously it just didn't work out and a move had to be made. Obviously, it would have been amazing to get Kyrie Irving, getting a guy that LeBron has chemistry with, has solidified championship ring with. But I feel like this was the best deal on the table for the Lakers, and just if they had gone into the second half of the season with that same group from the first half, it wouldn't have been good. So I'm really excited to see what they could do the rest of the year.
I mean, that last thing you said, everyone was saying there's no way the Lakers trade Russell Westbrook without giving up at least one first round pick and then trading a second to bring back talent. And instead, the Lakers send one first round pick, 1-4 protected, and bring back not one talented player but three talented players. I mean, everyone, like, this did not seem like something that was going to be feasible, and they somehow made it work and made their roster much better and got rid of Westbrook. So I think this is as good of a trade as you could have hoped this team would make at the deadline.
Yeah, I think there's no question they improved their roster. I think it was about specifically trying to improve on shooting, because the Lakers, they're 26th in the league from beyond the arc, shooting 33.8% per game. And you got guys like D'Angelo Russell. You have Malik Beasley, guys that can shoot it from beyond the arc. Of course, Malik Beasley didn't get off to a hot start, went 0-6. But we also know about that Lakers curse when you put on that purple and gold. We saw what it did to Danny Green. But I push back a little bit on this trade really moving the needle that much. I mean, when you consider where the Lakers are, when you consider the other moves that were made in the West with Phoenix getting KD, with Kyrie going to the Mavs, I still think it's going to be an uphill climb for the Lakers. But kind of digging more into D'Angelo Russell specifically and the future of D'Lo with the Lakers, because so far so good. I think it really feels like it's a seamless transition back to his old team. And with D'Lo, they are getting an all-star guard, a guy that can shoot, a guy that can play make. He really is an elite shot creator, but there are some cons. I mean, for my cons, he's streakier, and he's very streaky, and he also defensively, he's a liability. He's been a turnstile defensively, and when you consider the fact that the contract he's going to get, I just don't know if I would extend him long term. I know that that's what the Lakers are going to do. Yeah. Do you feel good about the Lakers locking in D'Lo long term?
I do feel good about it, and it's because I feel like him coming back to us now, he's a lot more mature. You know, he's not that same kid that came in that draft making mistakes, whether it be with team chemistry, snitching on Nick Young, or even just his streaky play back then. And I feel like now he's gotten that all-star appearance, you know. He's been on different teams. He played with stars like Steph Curry, and he's just been around the league a lot more. So even though he isn't the best when it comes to consistency and he has some strides to make defensively, I'm really excited to see what he's going to be like in that pick and roll with Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously, you know, the goal is to get the load off of LeBron James. It's pretty ridiculous that he's been playing playoff minutes when Darvin Ham at the beginning of the season said that wasn't the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like getting that primary ball handler in D'Lo, and he's really smooth. Like, you see the craft he puts in the offseason, in his training sessions, and this dude is up there with the best ball handlers in the league.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what he can do for us moving forward, and I hope that they're able to adopt a system that really suits his play style right now, and they just keep surrounding him with shooters and maybe another big that can run the pick and roll just like him and AD do. But what do you think, Noah?
Yeah, I mean, I want to ask you, because if they are going to bring back D'Lo long term, it can go to either of you. That means it's going to be a pretty much a for sure core of D'Lo, LeBron, and AD. That's going to be a majority of their money. Do you think those three guys alone with, you know, maybe some shooters, whatever, but it's not going to be another great player. Are those three guys good enough to win a title?
I would say absolutely not. I mean, I think if you look at D'Angelo Russell, look at his first game, scores over 15 points, and he's not a guy who's really going to move the needle. I mean, he really is at the very best. He's not even really a point guard, to be honest. He's really a combo guard.
Yeah.
And you consider the money he's making, he's in the final year of that $117 million deal. If you look at the kind of money that he's going to be worth, if it starts with a 2 and ends with a 3, a $23 to $26 million contract, I might be fine with that.
Yeah.
But then you consider the limitations they have outside of that. I think you look at D'Angelo Russell, the reality with him is he's been extremely streaky. And at the end of the day, he always regresses to the player that he really is. And yes, he is good in the pick and roll. Yes, he is going to provide more spacing. You love the fact shooting 38.7% from 3 on 7.4 attempts. So a much better fit alongside Anthony Davis and LeBron James than a Russell Westbrook. But still, I just don't know if I want to hitch my wagon to a guy that, for the most part, I mean, look, he is an all-star guard, but he's not a guy to me. I mean, defensively, he's worse than Russell Westbrook, if we're being completely honest. There have been times when he's locked in, he's a little more engaged, but he's a defensive liability. He can get hot, there's no question about it. But, I mean, I like his age, but I think he leaves a lot to be remained to be desired. I mean, the $25 to $30 million per year at that production level, I don't like him on the Lakers long term. But I know a lot of Laker fans are very interested because of the fact that you do retain those bird rights. You do have him in your system, and there's really not a lot of cap flexibility out there for the Lakers, and not a lot of guys out there to really pursue.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I would say. If I'm the Lakers, I don't extend D'Lo before the offseason, which I know is risky if you really want him back, but I think that's a huge mistake to do that, because right now we have no idea. The guy you mentioned, Kyrie Irving, we have no idea what his offseason is going to look like. There's a seems like a good chance that he hits the open market this offseason, and everyone's going to call the Lakers his number one choice. So if you lock up D'Lo before you even get to the offseason and see what Kyrie wants to do, I think you're making a mistake, because Kyrie is going to be a better fit. Same issues, you know, defensively, but obviously he's a much better scorer. He's a much better ball handler. He's a much better player overall. He's a little older, but he has won a title with LeBron. So I think you can't rely. You can't put all your chips in D'Lo's basket before you even see what happens with Kyrie. I think D'Lo's a great plan B. And like you said, they'll have their bird rights. They'll be able to offer a little more and maybe convince him. But yeah, if the deal starts with a 3, like the one he has right now, that's a huge mistake. If it's in the low 2 range, I think it could be a good deal, as long as Kyrie's not an option.
Yeah, I think it's really two-prong. I think, will he help this team get over the hump, and can you envision him winning championships with LeBron and AD? For me, the answer is no, but should you sign him as far as asset management goes? I think the answer is yes, because you know the cap is going to rise again. You know he is going to be a tradable asset. Just look at the Nets, how we end up on the Warriors, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to retain some of these guys. The Lakers learned that the hard way with how they handled Julius Randle, but yeah, I think that Laker fans are kind of a little bit of the nostalgia. They're kind of thinking D'Lo, ice in my veins, pointing at him. He said that he's a man now, and a lot of his teammates spoke very highly of him after his first game, where he was very communicative and he was a leader on the floor. But still, I mean, for me, just really doesn't do it. I mean, I think there were some other deals out there that, I mean, I would have explored probably the Hornets deal. I think that was another trade I would have liked. But yeah, would you really feel good about having him a part of this Lakers core beyond next season?
I think the whole thing with D'Lo right now, him personally as a player, he's just trying to find a home. He's been on so many teams throughout the years. He's getting traded. I thought personally definitely when he ended up on the Timberwolves with one of his best friends in Karl-Anthony Towns, that was going to be it. Mm-hmm. But then obviously you see he gets to the playoffs and he struggles. And then like you mentioned, defensively, one-on-one, he's a big liability.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the best team defensive players as far as, like you were saying, communication in that first game. But when you get to the playoffs, you're going to be guarding like the Luka Doncic's, you're going to be guarding the Chris Pauls. So I think that is a question for Laker fans, just like you're asking me right now. But I think if there's no other point guards on the market, if a Kyrie Irving does like his time in Dallas enough to stay, I think that we should hold on to him just because you do need that point guard to take the load off of LeBron. Not necessarily from a scoring standpoint, but even just handling the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, LeBron's 38. He's going to be 39 next year. At some point, he's going to have to give up ball handling duties. And you want someone you can trust.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's going to be Dennis Schroeder long term.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. Or even someone like when they bring in like Kendrick Nunn, you know?
Yeah.
You give a lot of guys chances.
And it just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. Oh, yeah.
At some point, you want to have the guy. And if D'Lo's going to be the guy, then you want to invest in him now because you want to have someone. You don't want to have LeBron have the duties. And D'Lo's young and LeBron, and you know, LeBron's 38, AD's in his early 30s. At some point, you want to go younger, and D'Lo at least would do that for them.
And the Lakers have been looking at D'Lo for a cool minute now, too. I think back to like two seasons ago, right before he got traded to the Golden State Warriors. When Magic was still around, he was saying how D'Lo was ready now, that he's mature. So I think the Lakers had kept their eye on D'Lo for a minute, and they kind of like other teams to do their developing for them.
Yeah.
You know, they like to bring back a lot of
people. Send him out and bring him back after. Yeah.
Even like the Lonzo Ball trade, I feel like if he was healthy, the Lakers might have been looking at him again as their point guard.
I think there's a chance he comes back also if D'Lo doesn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see about that. I mean, I think it really also comes down to scheme with Darvin Ham. I think when you saw him in Minnesota, they used that high wall scheme, kind of hit him on defense. But the reality is he's a net negative on defense. And to me, that we saw with Frank Vogel and that team with all those drop coverages and how well that team played defensively, that is why they won the title that year. Yeah. And offensively, you can find guys to fill it up. So my grade for the D'Angelo Russell trade, when you consider the fact that you add depth, when you add those much needed wings, you add some shooting, I still consider it a B plus trade for me. But I think I was hoping to see a guy that the Lakers could extend further that would be more than just an asset that they would try to trade. I just don't think D'Angelo Russell as a third star with LeBron and Anthony Davis is enough in the wild, wild competitive West to really win a Larry O'Brien trophy. But what is your grade, Mr. Noah Camras, on the trade?
Yeah, I'm giving it an A-. I think for the two reasons. One, getting rid of Westbrook, and two, only giving up the one first round pick and having it protected. Again, like I said, no one thought that was going to be possible. Everyone was saying two first, and they only get rid of one. It's protected. They bring back D'Lo. They bring back Malik Beasley. I think it's going to have a big impact. And I love Jared Vanderbilt. He's under contract next year for $4.6 million. I think he's going to turn out to be the steal of that trade. No matter what happens with D'Lo, Vanderbilt's going to be here. So that's why I really like the trade. A-.
A-. And how we go over here?
I'm going to go rocking with the B as well, just because I feel like the Lakers needed that whole rebranding, new roster. Westbrook out of the picture now. Can't put the blame on him like they were for what seemed like the past two seasons. And bringing in those young guys, that Malik Beasley, that Jared Vanderbilt, on top of D'Angelo Russell. Just bringing that new energy. Mo Bamba, too, getting into that Patrick Beverley trade. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole another one. But, yeah, for the D'Lo and Russell Westbrook swap, I'm giving it a B just off of that note.
All right, so we all like it.
Going with the B, I like it, but I think that a lot of Laker fans don't remember that he was benched at the end of the Minnesota Timberwolves season last year when they got eliminated. I mean, not a lot of great feelings there for me for D'Angelo Russell. I do think it's a good trade, like I said, addition because of the Westbrook subtraction, but I'm not too high on him long term. But next we'll shift gears to Anthony Davis. Now, since AD's been back, a little drama. AD standing for always drama. I mean, you saw when LeBron, he set the record. He's kind of sulking on the bench. They kind of cleaned things up a few days later, saying it wasn't about anything. He just wanted to win. But since he's returned, he's averaging 21.9 points per game, 13.2 boards. But he has looked less efficient. He has looked a little slower and clunky out there. What do you make of AD since he's returned?
Yeah, I mean, again, he was out for, was it 6 weeks? It was a pretty long absence. I think we all expected him to come back and be that MVP level player he was playing with, like at that level he was playing at before he gets hurt. But you can't expect that as someone. I think the All-Star break is going to be a really nice time for him to relax, take some break, you know, let his ankle heal a little bit more. But yeah, I do think the one thing that's always bothered me with Anthony Davis is he always kind of plays to his defender, where if he has a smaller defender on him, he doesn't take him down in the paint. He kind of lets him play out. And if he has a bigger defender on him, now he's trying to work in the post, where every time there's a smaller defender on AD, he needs to put his back to the basket and drive him into the paint and get a bucket. He doesn't do that. And he's, since he's been back, he's kind of been missing some shots in the paint that he should be hitting. But again, I think he's still getting back. And I think by the time the All-Star break is over and he gets back, I think he'll look better. I don't think he's any cause for concern as long as he stays healthy, which is a big asterisk next to as long.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You hit it right on. You hit the nail right on the head on that one. It's all about health for Anthony Davis, but I also think it's about keeping him engaged. I mean, if you look at how much he's played the five this season, we know how well documented it is that he does not love playing that position. You do have the addition of Mo Bamba. That should stretch the floor, open some lanes for Anthony Davis, but why do you think he hasn't looked the same since return, just aside from the injuries?
I think, yeah, just aside from the injuries, I think it's just when you're not winning games, you kind of you kind of lose that love for the game for a little bit. I feel like a lot of us got spoiled by that really good play he had at the beginning of the season, you know, putting up those 30, 40-point games and leading us to wins when we really needed them. But I think just even on that day when they were losing to the OKC Thunder when LeBron passed the record, a lot of us were watching that game thinking, like, how are the Thunder still in this game? It's supposed to be a great night where LeBron gets the record, but we also get a much-needed win. And I think that all those losses while AD was out, he's kind of starting to lose that drive. And it's tough, too. I think bringing in these new faces, it's not as easy as it looks to just get everybody adjusted to the system and winning right away. I think all of us fans, it's easy for us to see the potential, but for them to actually put it in there, it's going to take a few weeks. And I think that's taking the biggest effect on AD, as we've seen. As I would want to see him averaging around like 35 points, like 20 points and 15 rebounds is cool, but once he gets rolling again and LeBron's back, I'm hoping that he can finally take that torch that we've been wanting him to these past few seasons.
I mean, so far on the year in 34 games, averaging almost 26 points a game at 25.9, 12.4 boards, but at some point during his career, either he puts a team on his back and you see a perennial MVP candidate that he's supposed to be, or he just lives up to his reputation. I mean, he's more fragile than my newborn baby Kira. No one's gonna watch that, so it's all good. But I think that at some point, that it's not like he wants to be injured or anything like that, but I think from an attitude standpoint, he really wears losses, kind of like you were alluding to. And I think that Anthony Davis is a guy you have to keep healthy out there on the court and really keep him happy and keep him engaged. And also think that, I mean, we'll see how the Russell Westbrook trades out with him. I mean, he was really close to Russell Westbrook. I don't think he liked a lot of the turmoil, because when you trade a Russell Westbrook, you're essentially saying that LeBron failed. You're saying that AD failed. Yep. We know they met in Brentwood, all three of them, and really wanted to put this team together. But also, look, he has played more this season than he did with Frank Vogel last year, and the Lakers really are sitting in the same spot. So my next question for you two gentlemen is, if this season goes down in flames, and it's 1-2-3 Cancun in early April, if you're the Lakers, would you like to see them trade Anthony Davis?
It's such a difficult question, and I mean, it's one we've now had to talk about for a few off seasons that have ended much earlier than anticipated. Before this season started, early in the year, we did a little roundtable on alllakers.com, and I said this team should trade Anthony Davis. Then he started playing at an MVP level, and all that talk goes away. But now you're entering an off season. If this season does go down in flames, let's say they miss the play-in tournament, even if they make the play-in tournament, miss the playoffs, whatever it is, if they don't at least get to the second round, I think this is a disappointment. And I think you have to not only consider moving AD, but you have to do it. You have to recoup some value. Obviously, they traded all their first round picks to the Pelicans when they got AD. I want to make one other statement that says that trade should not be looked at as a fail, even if they trade AD, because they won the championship. They had a decent run, at least in 2020, 2021, before AD went down. But I think you have to trade him, recoup some of those first round picks, say it worked, we got the title we wanted, we got number 17, and now let's start over. Maybe even trade LeBron too, who will have the ability to be traded in the offseason. I'm not saying they're going to, depending on what they get back for AD. The one trade that really interests me is with the Bulls, getting AD back to his home in Chicago, maybe getting LaVine, Lonzo, and a bunch of first-round picks or something, if AD's value is that high. But yes, I think if this season goes down in flames, they have to trade AD.
Noel?
That is a tough one indeed right there, Doug, but I feel like as a Lakers fan, and I think the Lakers front office, through everything they've been through, I do not think they should trade AD. Regardless of everything that we've been through, I think he is still a top five player in the league when healthy. I think he's able to dominate both ends of the floor, but like you gentlemen have been saying, it's all about health with him. So I think that's the biggest thing that you have to look at here. And like Noah was saying, that maybe they should look into moving LeBron. Obviously, we all know he's going to want to play with Bronny when he gets to the NBA, and he's going to get there just being a James son.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the Lakers should just part ways with AD, because that's an incredible talent that they'd be giving away. And regardless of the first round picks and stuff that we will get back, I'd rather see them move LeBron, because you're set up for a better future having Anthony Davis. That's your go-to player right there versus a 39, 40-year-old LeBron James.
I mean, you are set up for a better future if AD stays healthy.
But yeah.
at this point, it's just, it's almost getting ridiculous. And like, I feel bad saying that because like, yeah, you feel bad for Anthony Davis getting hurt. He's the one getting injured. But like, it's ridiculous how much.
But saying that AD is going to stay healthy is like saying that Russell Westbrook is going to start shooting threes like Steph Curry. It's not happening.
It's
okay?
Not possible.
When you get older, the injuries don't decrease. They only increase. Yeah. And I think if you're the Lakers and this organization, they're built on superstars. They're built on going out there and signing guys like Anthony Davis and signing Shaquille O'Neal and bringing these guys to this destination franchise. And if you trade a LeBron James, who I've heard some things, talk to people that say, hey, if you trade LeBron James without his blessing, he's just going to announce his retirement. Okay. And you want to fracture that relationship with Clutch Sports. Yeah. Well, I think that when LeBron James ultimately becomes a part of the ownership group in Las Vegas, it's not going to matter because they're going to have an advantage on that. Yeah. But kind of getting back to Anthony Davis, I think when you consider the fact that, like you said, there's no question, there's no denying the fact that when he's healthy, when he's on the court, he's a top five player. No one impacts the game offensively and defensively quite like Anthony Davis, but you just can't keep him healthy. For me, it's not even the injuries, it's the heart attacks he gives us when he just shoots that three and undercuts and he's on the floor rolling around. I just can't live with that. I mean, I'm a Dodger fan, of course, Kenley Jansen, all the heart attacks he put me through. It's like the same thing every time Anthony Davis is grabbing his knee, grabbing his ankle and everything. Like I said, he's always damaged, but his talent level, you're going to get 50 cents on the dollar, right? I mean, you were just to try to get that contract out from underneath, get out from underneath that contract, it's going to require taking in either some bad contracts, taking in some depth pieces, but not necessarily another star in return. And we know that LeBron James, he has no intention of retiring anytime soon. He thinks still at this age, he can still contend for titles. So you trade Anthony Davis, I just don't see it. But what I always tell myself is, are the Lakers closer to a title or further away from a title with Anthony Davis? I think they're further away from a title when you consider the fact that, look at the games he's played per season. I mean, this is a guy that's missed significant time each and every year. 2020 and 2021, 36 games. Last year, he played 40 games. This year, he's played in 34 games. So look, you needed a global pandemic with a 3-month break in a bubble just to get unicorn Anthony Davis. And last time I checked, you're not going to have 3-4 month breaks in between NBA seasons. So I think the likelihood of him staying healthy are just becoming less and less each and every year. Will the Lakers pull the trigger on an Anthony Davis trade? I think that depends on how this season ultimately ends. I think that if you're the Lakers, you'd be more likely to do it if you don't even make the play-in game. I see people talking about the play-in versus the playoffs, and we're going to switch to that topic right now because the Lakers right now, Laker fans talking about playoffs. I mean, I'm saying we got to talk about play-in before we talk about playoffs. And if you look at the Lakers in the standings, they're currently sitting at 26-32 in 13th place in the West. And we're just going to start right off the bat. Do the Lakers make the play-in game? Do they make the playoffs? Mr. Noah Camaras.
I mean, right now I'm looking at 11 teams who are fighting for the 10 spots because the Utah Jazz are trying to tank. At some point, it's going to happen. The Oklahoma City Thunder, same thing. They're trying to tank. At some point, it's going to happen. And that leaves 11 teams that are now fighting for those 10 spots. Are the Lakers going to get one of those spots? Yes. They are going to win enough games. The West is so tight packed. I mean, all year it's been like within 4 games of the Lakers being the 13 seed or the 4 seed. Now it's a little bit more, but it's pretty much that close all year long. So they have to go on a little winning streak to get that momentum. Most of their games, I think about 16 of them, I can't fact check that, but are against teams above them in the Western Conference standing. So they're going to have their opportunities to gain ground. So I think at some point things are going to click. The All-Star break's a really good time to mesh, gel. And yes, I'm not saying they're going to get a high seed, but they're at least going to get to that 10 seed. I think there's a good chance they get up to 9 or even 8.
9 or even 8. Yeah, if you look at the Lakers, currently they have the 9th easiest remaining schedule in the league. You really have to go somewhere in the 16-8 range to finish out the season to really have a chance. Noel, what are your thoughts? I mean, I think the question I have for you is, how do they integrate all these new players in such a short amount of time to really build some chemistry and momentum heading into the postseason?
I think the biggest thing for them is just trusting in these guys that they traded for. You know, they traded with a Russell Westbrook who they parted ways with, a Kyle Kuzma, Danny Green, and multiple picks just to acquire him to make that big three. To move him for these pieces pieces, you have to be confident in a team. You didn't make this trade to just tank or just to fizzle out the rest of the season. They made this trade to win a championship. But like you said, Doug, we have to focus on the playoffs first and before that, the play-in. So I think that we definitely do make the play-in. And I think as far as accumulating these players and getting them comfortable with the system, it's all about trust from Darvin Ham, from the rest of the coaching staff. I know there's been a lot of turmoil around whether or not Darvin Ham is a better coach this year than Frank Vogel, and we're going to get into that later. But looking at it from that standpoint, I think you kind of got to give the keys to D'Lo. You got to trust him through his mistakes and through his mishaps that he has. You got to hope that he is that mature player that he is talking about in these press conferences, because ultimately he's going to be your point guard. And Malik Beasley, like we were saying earlier, we just got to let him shoot. I know Anthony Davis was saying the same thing, but when you have a player that you bring in specifically for shooting, you got to let them live or die by the three-point line, especially the Lakers. LeBron loves his spot-up shooters. He's going to pass up. If he has a game winner on the line and he's getting doubled, he's going to kick it to the shooter in the corner and he's going to trust them to hit it. So I'm really hoping that Malik Beasley can be that guy, you know, eighth made in three-pointers this year. And like you were saying earlier, Noah, with Jared Vanderbilt, he's an all-around guy and he's going to make those high-energy plays, hopefully in the playoffs and in the play-in. I'm hoping that if we're stuck in a battle, whether it be with like the Warriors, Vanderbilt can lock up like an Andrew Wiggins or a Klay in that last play and then go down and get a bucket, you know? That's where we're getting him for.
Yeah.
And then a Mo Bamba down low with AD. Hopefully he takes off that pressure. He can D up a little bit. He can post up. I know that AD really liked playing with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard in that 2020 run. So getting a Mo Bamba who's skinny, lanky, can like body a little bit in the paint since he's gotten stronger. Yeah, I'm liking how this new team is looking. And I think Darvin Ham is going to be able to actually do something with a better team now.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest key. How quickly can these reinforcements integrate themselves into this Lakers rotation? Can Mo Bamba, who's one of the best rim protectors in the league, a guy that can stretch the floor, is this going to re-energize him and take his game to the next level? How are some of these other guys going to perform? But I'm glad you mentioned the name Darvin Ham, because that is the next topic. Because Darvin Ham, like I said before, I was a big Ham head. I was all about him. I said Ham's going to bring home the bacon for the Lakers. But so far, I'm not loving the rotations. I'm not loving the schemes, the three-guard lineup.
When I see the three-guard lineup,
I'm like LeBron James after he didn't get the foul call against the Celtics. I'm all over the floor going crazy, losing my mind. I just can't deal with it. And thankfully, you trade away Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook, but I feel like he's going to find a way with Austin Reaves and D'Angelo Russell to work in that three-guard lineup.
He's already running that D'Lo, Dennis Schroeder.
Schroeder, shoot. Now, let me ask you, what are your takes on Darvin Ham in his first year?
Yeah, it's tough. From a off-the-court perspective, I really like what he's done. I think the players really like playing for him. I think he really kind of has the team. He has the support of the team, and I do think he's kind of one of those player coaches that people just like playing for. I like some of the energy he's brought. However, the rotations, like you said, they have just been like excruciatingly painful to watch. Yes, finally, Patrick Beverley is gone. Russell Westbrook's gone. Okay, maybe we can stop with the three-guard lamps. Oh, we got a good point guard on they got a good point guard in Russell Westbrook. He'll be the one. Move Schroeder to the bench. No, Darvin Ham says, I want Schroeder and D'Lo in the lineups together because they play different games. I don't know why he's giving up so much defense to have those guys in the lineup. I just wrote an article about this. If it was me, I'd have D'Lo at the point, either Malik Beasley or Austin Reaves at the two, Jared Vanderbilt at the three, LeBron and AD. That's my starting five. Off the bench, you have Schroeder as your sixth man because he's someone who can now bring some scoring, and then Reaves comes with him, and now you're kind of mixing things up. So the rotations have really been a problem, and at times I think have cost this team games, which could be very important come later. And yeah, some of the schemes aren't working. I do want to see how he does with this new team, like Noel was saying. If he can figure out the right rotations to make it work, maybe someone will hit him on the head and say, stop putting Schroeder and D'Lo in the starting lineup, get a little more defense in there, get some more size in there. But yeah, I think he'll have a chance to improve on what's been a pretty shaky start. But as of right now, he hasn't done enough to, you know, warrant him being like, oh, he's for sure going to be back. I feel like you need to show something with this new squad in these last 24 games or whatever to say, okay, Darvin Ham deserves some credit for making this work.
Yeah, I think for Darvin Ham, the Lakers, it was the Udoka effect, right? You thought you bring in a top assistant. Yeah. He has so much success in his first year, but it really hasn't been the case. But in his defense, he hasn't had a healthy lineup. I mean, he had Russell Westbrook. I think the difference between him and Frank Vogel is you're not seeing this team throwing the white towel, throwing the towel in the second half. They are playing hard. He is a great culture builder, but sometimes when I watch him in games, I'm saying, did this guy just get a free courtside seat, right? Because his rotations leave a lot more to be desired. Yep. Some of the ones that you mentioned, I think also going away from Wenyen Gabriel in certain spots, enough Lonnie Walker. And we get it. You're not going to have Lonnie Walker, but still, he's a guy that can help this team in certain situations. And also just his late adjustments. Yep. I mean, sometimes we're deep into the fourth quarter when a move should have already been made. And that's my biggest concern. So the reality is he's a top-level assistant who hasn't proven to be an NBA head coach just yet. But what are your thoughts on Darvin Ham?
First off, before anything else, we got to tip our hat to Darvin Ham because he did what nobody else wanted to do, and he actually benched Russell Westbrook.
That's true.
He actually not the guts to do that. He moved him to that bench role. But when he was first coming in, I was a huge fan. He was in the press conference talking about there's no pressure this year. He's like, you know, he said like he got shot a couple times. He's like, that's real pressure. Like hearing that quote, that was really cold, and I thought he was going to come in and set a winning culture. He hasn't done exactly just that, but as you guys mentioned, it seems like the players like playing for him. He's not scared to call certain people out, and I do like that. But also when it comes to the rotations, when it comes to late game decisions, they haven't been the best. And it just begs the question of whether or not he is a better coach than what Frank Vogel was. Because Frank Vogel, if nothing else, he was dependent on defense.
Yeah.
And that's something that kind of the NBA as a whole is going away from. They're throwing in a lot of offensive players, not really focusing on actually stopping the buckets from going in. And I feel like opposing teams have been looking at that backcourt lineup of like Schroeder, and now it's going to be D'Lo. Someone like Luka's looking at that and just licking their chops, getting ready to go off for 40. So I think that Darvin Ham does really need to take a reflection over All-Star break and really look at what he has on this team, because there is a lot of defensive potential. Like starting Jared Vanderbilt at the three with two guards that actually play a little bit of defense.
Yeah, Reeves or Beasley.
Yeah, I think this end of season stretch is going to be key when it comes to winning games defensively. Because we have enough talent to get the ball in the basket. Even having people like Dennis and Roy Hachimura off the bench, that could be a lot of buckets off the bench, like at least 15 from each of them.
Yeah.
But when you look at defense, I feel like that's going to be key for him moving forward. And he needs to take a couple notes out of Frank Vogel's handbook here and actually like sub in some defensive rotations.
Yeah, I feel like Laker fans are going to be terrified for the first Mavs-Laker game when Kyrie and Luke are in that backcourt against Dennis Schroeder.
When is that game again? Do you guys know?
Whenever it is. Laker fans shouldn't watch that one.
Yeah, I mean, well, personnel-wise, I mean, Frank Vogel had all those guys. You could blitz, pick and rolls. Now it's more of a drop coverage scheme. So I think really what it comes down to for Darvin Ham is getting all these guys to buy in. And I think he really needs a top-level offensive assistant, in my opinion. I think they're not truly optimizing him. They're expecting him to go out there and get the job done when you have an injured superstar, when you have a LeBron James who's sitting out just so he can play in the All-Star game at full strength. It really hasn't been the best ideal situation for Darvin Ham. And also, too, I mean, they committed 4 years to him, right? Yeah. And my dream coach was Ty Lue. Yeah. And it reportedly came down to a one-year deal that he wanted an extra year at the back end. They weren't able to give it to him. And I just think that it's tough because the Lakers don't put a lot of confidence in their coaches. Yeah. They pretty much go through more coaches than Leonardo DiCaprio goes through supermodels 25 and under, right? Yeah. I mean, a lot of turnover from the head coaching position. And I think that they need to give him an offensive assistant. I'm not saying go out there and try to, or another defensive guy. I'm not saying go out there and try to bring in a Udoka or anything like that. But I definitely think he could use a little more help and also a little more confidence from the front office. It does feel like it's like the inmates are running the prison a little bit with the Lakers and LeBron James calling the shots. Yeah. I mean, Darvin Ham is a strong, confident guy. He's a former NBA player that broke backboards during dunks. I mean, this guy is someone that you really need to get behind. But I think that you can teach some of the other things that he needs to learn. But what you can't teach is his ability to build a culture, to build that toughness. And definitely the players play for him and they respect him. But so it sounds like to you guys, you're not on the fire Ham train as of yet. But what are your thoughts on that? Would you fire Darvin Ham? A lot of Laker fans, they want to fire Darvin Ham.
Yeah, you can't fire him yet. I feel like, I mean, you signed him to a 4-year deal. I feel like you can't give up on him after year one, unless this year turned into a dumpster fire and people are requesting trades and things like crazy happen. But no, I don't think you can fire this guy yet. I think you got to let people build. It's so hard because like with the Lakers, there's almost no time to build, especially when you have LeBron James on your team. There's no time to build. There's no time to grow. It's like Darvin has to jump right in and turn this team that missed a play-in tournament last year into now a top six seed, which is, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. And like you said, I mean, Frank Vogel's bench had Jason Kidd. Yeah, I think Lionel Hollins was on that bench. they didn't give that same luxury to Darvin Ham. So it's a little interesting that, you know, he didn't get that same help on the side. Maybe they couldn't make those deals. But yeah, I don't think you can fire him. I think that's a little too drastic. But it would be nice to see him make a nice push in this second post All-Star break part of the season and at least get this team into the play-in tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to stick with him. I think that this organization has lacked stability over the last four or five seasons. Yeah. And if you fire him, it's just another bad move. And also on top of everything, because of the Babs, the broke-ass buses, they're not going to just fire Darvin Ham. No, they're going to keep in that position.
They're not going to be paying that contract.
But yep, guys, thanks, guys, for joining us here for the inaugural, the first episode of the Lakers 24-8 Roundtable. You can follow Noah Camras, at Noah Camras, an esteemed Lakers insider for Sports Illustrated. And then go follow my man, Noel Sanchez, at N-O-E, number one, Sanchez. Of all the Noel Sanchez's, he's the number one Noel Sanchez in the world and Lakeland. Of course, my name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at DMAC underscore LA. And we want all your takes, too. What are your thoughts on Darvin Ham? How the Lakers season will finish? What is your grade for the D'Angelo Russell trade for the Lakers? We want all your takes down below. And if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Lakers 24-8 YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. And if you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button, too. And until next time, go Lakers.